was quick to remind me that on June 14th, it's Flag Day, suggesting the theme. Dickens wrote a book, The Tale of Two Cities. It wasn't the worst of times, it wasn't the best of times. I think that's fitting for what I want to share here, and a tale of two flags. We'll look at the flag of the United States, and we'll look at the flag of Israel. For a lot of encouragement, I remember when a pastor went up to the pulpit, his wife put a note there, KISS. Well, it inspired him, and he went on and on. Later, he realized it meant keep it short, stupid. So we'll do the best we can here. But it is one of those days when if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. And there was a fellow who was arranging to take a parachute drop. And he arranged to have some friends meet him where he expected to land on the ground. After he left the plane, the chute didn't open. Neither did the safety chute. Then he said to himself, I'll bet he won't be down there with that truck either. Well, we want to look at the American flag. The flag written around a statement. A statement in the preamble of our Constitution. And I'd like to share that with you. Because the flag is a symbol that makes a statement. But in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for our people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the law of nature and of nature's God entitled them. A decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impede them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have a nation established to give us this protection, to live our lives as we believe God would have us to live. And so we are one nation under God. In our coins we have, in God we trust. The other statement, a prayer of this union, one from many. We are the United States. Other flags have had great symbols. Great Britain, the United Kingdom, from which we were part of until we declared our independence, as the Union Jack, a flag representing the cross of four different cultures, of England, of Scotland, of Ireland, and Wales, all embroidered upon the Union Jack. We have the flag of the communists, Russia, a hammer and a sickle. Somebody said the hammer, but the sickle was to hold the people down and the hammer was to keep them down. We have the land of the rising sun, Japan, with that emblem of the sun. And so we look around us, we find that flags make a statement. And our statement is what I just read in the preamble to the Constitution. Flag Day came about in a rather slow movement and accepting a design of the flag. In 1812, we had a flag displayed at Fort Henry, and Francis Scott Key detained aboard a British ship while the fort was attacked. Was inspired to write the Star's Michael Banner as the flag remained rising above Fort Henry that the British had been unable under their land forces to defeat them and possess the fort. as far as Star Spangled Banner. We had in the original flag 13 stars for the 13 colonies that declared themselves to be states. We also had that repeated by the 13 stripes as 7 red and 6 white. The solidarity of the union of these different governments of statehood is the symbol of the unity of this nation that not only has made it, at this point, I believe, the strongest nation power on the earth, but also a statement for democracy, a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And let us to realize that the necessity of the flag is to identify the forces. And it took a while before Congress settled on the Stars and Stripes as to exactly how they should be. It took the Civil War. It's a very short time from 1812 to 1862 when war began. And suddenly there was a need to identify the forces with the banner. And the Stars and Stripes were descended upon as we entered the war. The Confederacy of 11 states that voted to secede from the Union would display their stars and bars with 11 stars for the states that succeeded, plus 2 more that were expected to join them. It's a real crisis for our nation. Mexico, the Spanish culture, I understood, stood ready to come in and assume control of large portions of the land, if it should go, so do. I'm sure Britain on the other side was watching anxiously to see where they could make their move. It took a man like Abraham Lincoln to lead the nation at that time and to bring the nation through the war and into the post-war period. And he left his Gettysburg address. I can find it now. Well, the Gettysburg address ends with a statement that a government of the people, by the people, and for the people should not perish from this earth. It was a brilliant speech. Not long afterward, the nation mourned as his sudden departure through the assassination that took place. But the nation held together. Was Abraham Lincoln a Christian? Back in college, in speech class, I decided to make a speech around the theme, asking and hoping to find an answer to declare this. Lincoln grew up in Illinois. His mother, Sarah Lincoln, was a Bible-believing, scripture-quoting mother. She passed away. And then a stepmother came in, and she was the one who could get things done and do her. And it's debated when Lincoln said, "All that I have and all that I am, I owe to my angel mother." There's debate over which woman he was referring to. Lincoln himself, in making a statement as to his relationship with Jesus, made the statement that when my son Willie died, and mother statements, very moving and very strong statements, to inspire us and to give us meaning and purpose in our lives. I want us to put the flag of Israel now on the board there. We will look at the flag of this nation. Stripes on the edges from the ticket from the burnt shawl. The Star of David, a six-pointed star. One pointing up, reminding me that his dynasty would be on the throne forever. Believe it or not, the English people consider themselves to be the true descendants of Israel. And there's a genealogy I possess. I got off the internet of Queen Elizabeth, training her lineage, heritage, all the way back to Adam, by way of Shem and David. Her right to claim the throne of David and that lineage. It's debatable whether that's true or not. This was a big issue of the colonies declaring their independence. It was a big issue because many believed that indeed this government, represented by its leaders, were the descendants of the Davidic covenant. And it would be a true mistake to declare independence not only from that government, but the land to some from the covenant. And so some that were called loyalists by my family, Tories by the early Americans, moved up and settled into Canada and established that nation as a testimony of their loyalty to the crown. Others who struggled with this remained here, and we find it echoed both in the Pledge of Allegiance and in the hymn, My Country 'Tis of Thee, where the words of that hymn end with this word, declaration, Great God, our King. Again, a reflection from the flag, from our reverence to our Creator, to our recognition that we're one nation under God, one declared as kingdom, one from many, and today a nation with a heritage of many different cultures. And we still see struggles on the streets. I was talking to my son Joe, and I said, what is the problem with all this protest? He said, it's motivated by Satan. And I'm reminded that in the book of 2 Corinthians, Warren Mercer presented an outline of the strategy of Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not. Satan has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. Then in 2 Corinthians 11, it says that Satan can appear as an angel of light, and he can beguile believers. This is the problem that is represented in my mind by the Mormon religion, for they seem to ignore many important passages in the Bible. I have friends who are Mormons, and I grieve for them. But it states in Galatians 1:8, never to receive a revelation from an angel. They believe that it was the angel Moroni, not supported in the scriptures, but rather by the books of Mormon, that revealed to Joseph Smith some tablets. They're in the Adirondacks of New York, I believe, from which the Book of Mormon is translated. Not only does it tell us not to accept a revelation from an angel, but tells us that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. And we see this again in the, what happened? Israel. For they claim that Gabriel revealed to Mohammed the sacred their sacred book, the Koran. So we realize how pertinent and real these issues are. And as we move along here, it's very important to know that there is a battle going on for our souls. Now, Satan's threefold attack is not only to blind the eyes of the unbelievers, which we see, I believe, happening on our streets of our nation today, but also to confuse those who are supposed to be religious leaders by deceiving them unless we're committed to the Word of God. We're very vulnerable. And then he buffets the believers. Paul, the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 11, God said a messenger of Satan was allowed to physically attack him. And he appealed to the Lord to withdraw him. And God reveals to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you. It's a great appreciation when we realize that when Jesus Christ came, in the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and brought among us full of grace and truth. I find it very comforting because the truth sometimes hurts. But the truth about grace is it's there to meet our needs. Satan is going to do everything he can to remind you of your shortcomings, to keep you awake at night, to hate yourself, to hate your friends. And the Lord Jesus Christ is there with his word to minister to you. He said, I will pray the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and he shall remind you of what these things that I have spoken unto you. So, folk, I mentioned that there may be many of you, if not all of you, who have wake up in the night tortured by a memory of someone in your life, and you wonder, how could I have done it? And Satan will be saying, right there to say, you can do it, you can do more. But the Spirit of God is there to say, God loves you. He's forgiven you. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed your transgressions from you. Now, how far is the east from the west? I can't tell you. It's infinite. How far is the north from the south? Oh, it's measured. The whole metric system is based on the distance from the North Pole to the equator. Those are points that can be identified and measured, but not the east from the west. And those are the words that God chooses to comfort us, to give us the peace of God that passes all understanding. So, folks, as we reflect here upon the significance and meaning of our nation, upon the all that God has given us through his grace, I want to call yourself again to the attention of the flag of Israel. Two equilateral triangles, one pointing toward heaven, where God had gave the promise to David that his dynasty will be eternal. Jesus is the son of David. And then we find the other pointing toward the earth, reminding us of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, who descended, who God made a little more than the angels. Hebrews 2:9, I believe it is, but we see Jesus, who was made a little more than the angels for the suffering of death, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every person. Hebrews 2:9. John 2:2. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. There's a terrible thought that goes through the theologians in a result of reasoning and rationale that God has chosen only the elect to be saved. Now, I've known some people that are miserable because they feel they aren't one that can't be saved because I'm not chosen by God to be saved. The Word of God, let me assure you, says that whosoever believeth on him shall have eternal life. John 3:16. God's Son Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Past, present, future. Think about that. They're on the cross in the agony. Psalm 22 reflects his suffering. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back on his Son. And then Jesus closed and said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Remember, we acknowledged on that service at Easter, he took that title and said, it's not only a way to die, but it's a way to live. Into thy hands, Father, I commit my spirit. One of the pictures that we find is the raising of the flag by the five Marines on Mount Suribachi. But these five brave Marines in the tactic to defeat Japan in the Pacific War were to start invading islands south of Japan one by one by one to get closer and closer to design a B-29 bomber capable of traveling a distance from these islands to deliver munitions upon the people of Japan to bring them to their knees and to surrender. On the island of Okinawa, they found that the Japanese resistance was so strong that they began to realize what a bloody, intense war lay ahead of them to invade Japan. Lyle Reynolds was in one of those units that was preparing to invade Japan. And I remember him sharing with me after church one time how relieved those forces were when President Truman ordered the atomic bomb to bring Japan to its knees and bring about surrender so that both nations could survive. It was a terrible time of anticipation. But Japan did come to its knees. We did go in there September 2nd on this battleship Missouri. The documents of surrender were signed. And Japan was not only defeated, but it was rebuilt through the leadership of General MacArthur. That's another sign of the presence of God in our nation. And that what we conquered, we did not occupy and keep, we rebuilt. So different from other nations and their expansion. You look at an older map of Africa, you can see of so many different European nations that went in there and occupied different parts, French Equatorial Africa, Belgian Congo, British the Union of South Africa, Rhodesia, all those nations, but not this nation. What we conquered, we rebuilt, and we set free. Something more to be thankful for. Something to be grateful to God for all that he has done. When I was in the Northern Baptist men's choir, somehow I got in there. I had a great time joining the choir on tour. I believe it was about the first time when I came to South Dakota because we visited Sioux City and a Baptist college up there. And I remember our bus pulled into the church grounds late. We rushed in there. We put the risers up. I was in the front row standing in front of the risers. Something heard a terrific crash behind me as the choir was introduced. I heard the noble men of Northern Baptist utter frustration and failure, and he shows us that the faith is able and sufficient to give us all that we need. I'm trying to think now here of the phrase that God said when he revealed himself. I am all that's necessary for all that shall occur. That's what he is in your life. That's what he is in my life. We trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes, almost by miracle, things turn out we're looking for. I've had that happen this week. Thank God for his love and faithfulness. Folks, don't go out of here discouraged. Let that light remind you of his power, light, and love. And that out of many, there's unity. And we can support one another. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our church, my fellowship, for Pastor Raymond, and the reassurance he gives us through the gifts you've given him of his intense study and knowledge of Scripture and prophecy. We pray for his complete recovery from the sinus surgery and for the whole family, and how they come to mean so much for us and their love. And may we respond with our love and support them. And for each other, Father, and to realize, as Paul was told by the Lord when he sought the Lord to relieve him of the buffeting of Satan,